"You are spiritually fat," she said. We sat in stunned silence. "You come here 3 times a week to hear chapel messages. You receive these wonderful, encouraging messages from your professors, and then you go back to your dorms not to do anything about it." She may have even thrown in a word like spiritually gluttonous for good measure. I can't remember anything else about her message, nor who it was who gave this chapel message, but I do remember that phrase, spiritually fat. Now, something like this might cause someone to feel defensive, but I frankly don't remember feeling defensive at all. I remembered resonating with what she said. I was in this Christian bubble of college, and we were absorbing the goods from all of our professors and chapel speakers. And she was right. We were guilty. We were getting spiritually fat. We were receiving and not exercising. It's likely that spiritually fat is pretty far from how you currently feel. Now you feel more spiritually hungry than ever before. You crave that spiritual nourishment, that spiritual meat. You desire the presence of God now more than ever before. You miss the ability to naturally rub shoulders with other Christians and receive their encouragement on Sunday mornings. It's difficult to discipline yourself and your family to sit on the couch for worship services and to have even one more hour of screen time. In addition to spiritual hunger, your emotional hunger is high. You feel exhausted most of the time, and you feel that you would like to be cared for just once in a while. You're asked to parent more, to work more with less resources, to search for work in this slumped economy. You have to be disciplined about every single aspect of your life, from when to wake up, to when to study, to when to have your classes. If you're an extrovert, you miss people. You miss that extra pep in your step that you get when you rub shoulders with someone. And if you're an introvert, you're still drained even working from home, which you love, because your family won't leave you alone. Yet maybe, despite your current hunger, a question lingers in your mind regarding your spiritual fatness or fitness. When was the last time you went beyond your comfort zone in having a conversation with someone about faith? When was the last time you confessed your sin to someone? When was the last time you engaged in worship? Not to check something off your list or critique the content, but to faithfully worship God and to give Him your greatest praise. When was the last time you gave to someone? Not because they deserved it, but simply because you desired to bless them. When you think about your spiritual life, do the words passive, consumer, or fat come to mind? I hope that you know that with these questions, I don't ask them with the confidence that I have perfectly answered each of these questions. I, just as you, have plenty of room to grow. No matter how old I am, and no matter how long you have been a Christian, we all have room to grow, and we're doing this together. Frankly, I am cautious to offer a challenge during this time. I recognize and I feel how sensitive and exhausting this time is. It's like going on a run that you thought was a sprint, which turned into a marathon, and you have no idea where the finish line is. We are in a liminal space that we don't know how long it will last. We know it won't be like it was in the past, and we don't quite know what it will be like in the future. We are in the midst of change, and we wish we could control the outcome, but we simply can't. We're in a situation not too dissimilar from the disciples in Luke 24. Their best friend would be physically distanced from them and would return at a time they wouldn't know. They were told that things would change, but many of the particulars were hazy. They were told that soon they would have more work to do than ever before. They were told that now they were not to go anywhere or really do anything. They were told to wait. Sound familiar? Jesus had risen from the dead, but his disciples didn't understand what it meant. He had spoken of the necessity of his death and resurrection for some time, but they hadn't understood it. So he interpreted his death and resurrection for them and interpreted how he fulfilled Scripture. He told them that they would receive power from on high and that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jerusalem was and is the epicenter of the Jewish faith. Jerusalem was the place people flooded to offer sacrifices, to be made right with God, and to celebrate religious feasts like the Passover and Pentecost. Jerusalem was the holy city where the temple resided, the place God resided. But the fascinating thing, and for many, the scandalous thing, was that Jesus claimed that God no longer resided in the temple. He claimed that God had come to them. He claimed that he was God. He was God in the flesh, living, breathing, and walking among them. He forgave their sins, so offering sacrifices for sins at the temple would be no good. He claimed, in fact, that the temple would be destroyed. And Jesus had no heartburn about it. The temple would be destroyed, and Jesus instructed his disciples to wait until they had received power from on high to then go into all the world. Everything that had been important to the disciples would change. Their beloved friend would leave them. The temple would be destroyed. They would have to disperse. And they had a job to do. They would be witnesses to all nations of what Jesus had done. They had quite the task in front of them. They had no guarantee of how successfully they would complete their mission, or if they would survive. They were promised instead that they would be brought to court and that they would have to pick up their cross and follow the way of Jesus. They did not have a task for the faint of heart. Theirs was no cozy life of gathering at a building once a week to worship. They were called to wait until they had received power from the Holy Spirit. And then they were to go. The suspense is high. When will the Holy Spirit come and how? What will their lives look like? Will they be faithful to their calling? Will they be successful? Will they see one another again? I encourage you to tune in next week to hear more. And in the midst of the suspense, Jesus blesses them. He commissions them for ministry, much like he was. Do you remember how Jesus was commissioned? Before Jesus began his ministry, Jesus was baptized. The heavens parted, the Holy Spirit descended onto him, and a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." We don't know the words Jesus uses to bless his disciples, but perhaps his words are an echo of the blessing he received. You are my disciples, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus ascends into heaven, they worship him, and they return to Jerusalem with great joy. They stay at the temple, blessing God. Jesus was with them for 3 years, but his purpose was something much more, much greater than simply those 3 years. His purpose was to bring the kingdom of God to the whole earth and to one day return in all his glory, to be with us in perfect unity. His was a task that would go beyond him. His was a task that would require his disciples. It was time for them to leave the nest and fly. Many of you know our office administrator, Beth Dukachev. Beth is the glue that holds this place together, and she knows everything. If you want to know something, don't ask one of the pastors, ask Beth. Beth told me that while she was raising her kids, her goal was to make herself as mom obsolete. The goal of raising kids is to make them independent adults, she says. Beth's comment reminds me of a mama bird pushing her birds out of the nest so that they fly. The purpose of birds is not to stay in the nest, cozy and protected by the mama bird. Their purpose is to be out there, to spread their wings and fly, to grow, to learn, to have their own families, to play their particular role in the ecosystem, and to remind people like me not to take life so seriously. As Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more of value than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Jesus' disciples' purpose was not to stay in the nest. Their purpose was to go. They were to go and spread the good news of Jesus, to make disciples of all nations, so that the kingdom of God would come to all the earth. The disciples' purpose is now our purpose. We have that same commission to make disciples of all nations. We will often complain that we don't know enough, that we still have doubts, we aren't convincing enough, we don't have our lives together enough. We would rather say that we need to stay in the nest a lot longer before being forced out into the world to have to say anything about Jesus. We allow our fears to control us, not recognizing that what God has already given us is enough. In 2018 and 19, the Barna Group conducted nationally representative research among 2,000 non-Christians. They asked questions regarding what they would desire in a spiritual conversation partner, along with questions of their experience. They found that the top quality that non-Christians desired in a spiritual conversation partner was someone who listened to them without judgment. 62% of participants said that they would like to have a spiritual conversation with someone who listened without judgment. Yet 34% said that this was their experience. The next quality was a desire for someone who did not force a conclusion, yet only 26% experienced this among Christians they knew. The next top qualities were allows others to draw their own conclusions and confident in sharing their own perspective. Ranked second to last was good at debating topics. The top quality a non-Christian desired in a spiritual conversation partner was someone who listened without judgment. Listening without judgment is a quality of humility and compassion. Listening without judgment is a quality gained when you recognize that you have been extended incredible grace when you have screwed up royally. And let's be honest, it's happened a lot. Henry Nouwen writes that it is the possibility for each of us to forgive our sisters and brothers because forgiveness is only real for those who have discovered the weakness of their friends and the sin of their enemies in their own hearts and are willing to call each human being their brother and sister. It comes from knowing deep within your bones that you are forgiven and loved. Listening without judgment is not something that can be gained by staying in the nest. It's a quality that is gained by taking risks and recognizing that you don't have it all together. You need help. And that is the incredible thing about our Christian faith. It's not a faith that says that you need to have it all together, that you need to attain perfection, that you need to be strong, or that you need to have all the answers. It's not a faith that is dependent on us. It's a faith in the one who loves you, the one who created you, who became weak to save you, the one who gives you the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purposes in your life. If you don't yet know this God, I invite you to find out more. Speak with a Christian that you know and trust. Click on the prayer request button on your screen, and you can find that on the on-demand screen or on the live screen. And one of our church staff will gladly respond and pray with you. As Jesus blessed his disciples and their commissioning, I invite you to receive this blessing. You are God's son. You are God's daughter, whom he loves. With you, he is well pleased. It's time to leave the nest and fly. You were created for it. Let's join together in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you love us, not because of the good that we do or the good that we will do. We give you thanks that your love is not conditional upon us. We thank you that you love us despite ourselves. You love us because you created us. We pray that we would deeply know that we would share that with others. We pray that you would give us the courage to get out of the nest and fly. We pray that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit, that we would have courage and humility, compassion for our neighbor, that we would listen and share the hope that we have, the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.